I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
In episode number one, we were introduced to Cassidy Cartwright, the last survivor of Earth, following a tragic event that ended up merging our planet with another, Dreamworld, a realm of living fairy tales and nursery rhymes. Thrust into new Dreamworld, Cassidy met the mysterious Jack and his outlaw team of Redeemers in the hopes they'll help him restore their two worlds back to normal and thus saving his children. Despite their initial doubts, the Redeemers agree to bring Cassidy to Camelot, their secret headquarters, to meet their enigmatic leader, Mother. Episode 2. Exterior, Three Bears Porridge Factory, night. The Redeemers and Cassidy enter through a side door. Interior, Three Bears Porridge Factory, continuous. Unused and outdated huge pieces of cooking equipment for large-scale production in this abandoned factory. The team approaches an industrial-sized mixing bowl.
Are you sure about this, Jack? Taking a stranger to Camelot?
Not really, but Mother will know what to do with them. Let's go.
Mastodon then opens a secret panel in the wall and presses a mysterious red button inside it. Suddenly, the giant mixing bowl moves out of position, revealing a magic staircase spiraling down into the unknown depths below to an unseen tunnel beneath the floor.
You first, stranger.
Cassidy enters, then Jack. Mastodon climbs down halfway and tugs the bowl back to its former position before completely entering the tunnel. Interior, old sewer system, continuous. The team is walking downward toward the end of the tunnel where a faint guiding light shines.
This is Camelot?
Yeah, you were expecting? I'm sorry.
Congratulations!
Hey, Sean, give me even more.
This is Camelot?
Okay.
This is Camelot?
Yeah, what were you expecting?
They reach the end of the tunnel to see the hidden city of Camelot. Jack, Cassidy, Scarlet, Mastodon, and Wolf enter. Exterior Camelot continues. Built inside a gigantic underground cavern, Camelot is a village of small cottages surrounding a giant castle largely in ruins. Oil lamp street lanterns light the dirt roads as poor peasants mill about.
Who are they?
The people of Dreamworld who hide from the sleeper. The people who don't want to live in fear of him or his daughter, the Ice Princess.
That castle?
Legend has it fell from the sky, and that a giant once lived there. Sounds like a fantasy. There's no such thing as a giant.
Scarlet begins to wake up, still groggy.
Yeah.
What happened to Simon?
You.
He was always an asshole.
As the Redeemers approach the town square.
There's Mother's house, but first things first.
Mastodon rings the square's bell located above a wishing well. Immediately, the Redeemers are rushed by Camelot's begging peasants. The Redeemers begin handing out magic beans to the gathered crowd.
Huh. The magic beans you stole. You robbed from the rich.
And give to the poor. Go buy food. Feed your children. Jack, there's so many, it won't be enough.
Then we'll go out again and again until it is. Here, stranger, make yourself useful.
Jack throws Cassidy a bag of magic beans, and he begins distributing to the large crowd of people. Interior living room, close up on a double barrel shotgun. Pull out to find the gun belongs to Mother, mid-60s, aiming her shotgun at Cassidy's face. Mother is surrounded by dozens of her children of all races, colors, and ages.
Okay, stranger. You could be telling the truth, or you could be certifiably insane. I think it's option two. It was nice meeting you.
Wait, please. I swear I am from another planet. It's called Earth. Earth and all of its people were turned to stone because of some event that changed the real Dreamworld's timeline.
But you don't know what that event is or when it occurred.
No, on both. Look, I know this sounds crazy.
Well, at least you know that.
I say we just shoot him.
Oh.
Cassidy turns to see Jack with Mastodon and Scarlet standing beside him.
Oh, Jack, be nice.
Tell me, you don't believe this nonsense.
I don't know what I believe yet, so until then, be nice.
Says the woman aiming a shotgun at me, no offense.
Well, I haven't shot you yet, have I? Then, keep talking. Tell me if this Father Time had enough magic to bring you here. Why didn't he just change everything back himself?
He doesn't exist anymore. That's why he sent me.
Oh, okay. So, in order to change our dream world back to this real dream world and rescue your Earth from stone, you were chosen by someone who doesn't exist to go back in time to stop an event you don't know from happening.
Of all the people on your planet, why did this Father Time choose you?
I don't... No!
Proof, stranger. Do you have any proof? Something tangible?
I have things from my world.
Cassidy opens his wallet.
This is my wallet. Here's some money, driver's license, Banana Republic gift card, cell phone.
Cassidy presents to Mother a photograph of Tessa and Reuben.
My kids.
You have children?
Two. Tessa and Reuben. Both turned to stone. I have to save them. Before they go to bed, I'd read them stories. Stories based on your lives in the real dream world. According to those stories, nothing here is as it should be. And you're not who you're supposed to be.
What are you saying, stranger?
You were different people in the real dream world. Mastodon, you were a true giant. 100 feet tall, living in a castle high on the clouds. That fallen castle outside, that was yours. Jack, you were just a peasant boy. You used to climb a magic beanstalk to Mastodon's castle and steal his golden eggs.
What?
This strikes a chord with everyone in the room.
Wait, that story means something to you, doesn't it?
It means nothing, right?
What's a magic beanstalk?
It's A beanstalk big enough for a giant to climb on, which you did one day, chasing Jack from your castle.
Cassidy hesitates.
Well, stranger, did I catch him?
No. He reached the bottom first and chopped the beanstalk down while you were still climbing.
Both Jack and Mastodon take the hint.
Are you saying I killed my best friend?
It's all lies.
You said it, Thaddeo. Scarlet, are you getting this?
This is a cruel trick, stranger, especially to the people who just saved your life.
It's no trick. And you were all different people. Scarlet, you never knew Jack and Mastodon, and you weren't a werewolf either.
I've always been a werewolf. I don't like this, Jack.
Me neither, brother. He talks about a world where you and I are enemies.
A world where I'm not a werewolf, where I don't love you, Jack.
A world without the sleeper.
Which presents an interesting possibility to our heroes. After a moment, Alice, 9, enters.
Mother, little blue boy was trying to stick his fingers in the pie.
Oh, he was, huh? Well, I better give him a talking to.
She looks to the kitchen door's window and sees little boy Blue, who is actually a little blue boy, duck out of sight. Mother then raises her glasses and inspects the apple pie.
Put this pie on the windowsill along with the others, then fetch Pinocchio. We'll settle all this talk before supper.
Alice runs into the kitchen as a new voice, Spanish accent, begins talking.
Wait one second. Did anyone stop to think he could be a spy?
Find the debonair swashbuckler known as Bluebeard, mid-30s. Bluebeard wears a finely groomed blue goatee and a haggard soldier of the 4th uniform. Held tight in Bluebeard's arms is his girlfriend Staria, mid-20s, sparkly.
He's not a spy, Bluebeard.
How can you be sure?
Mother looks Cassidy up and down, then rams the butt of her shotgun into his stomach. Keels over in pain.
You better not be a spy. Not so long ago, Bluebeard, with you being an ex-soldier of the 4th, we thought that of you. And look how wonderful things turned out. Jack, come with me.
Jack follows her into an adjacent room. Interior mother's room, night. Present in the room are Jack, Cassidy, and mother. The door opens to reveal an old handyman, Geppetto, entering. In the background behind him, we hear a clank, metal on hardwood floors approaching. It's footsteps.
Hey, Geppetto.
Hey, Jack.
Where's Pinocchio?
Right behind me, Ma.
Geppetto holds the door wide open as the source of the clanking sound steps into the room. It's Pinocchio, 8, dressed in a schoolboy uniform. His knees are supported by metal braces, and he walks with crutches.
Stranger, this is Geppetto's son, Pinocchio. Pinocchio is one of Mother's very special children.
Pinocchio?
Aside from obvious conditions, my boy is a mute. He hasn't spoken a word since he was born.
But where fate takes away, it also gives, and gives generously.
A knock at the door.
Watch, Pinocchio. Come in.
Little blue boy enters.
You wanted to see me, Mother?
If I told you once, I told you 1,000 times, keep your grimy hands out of the pies. That being said, did you try and put your finger in Alice's apple pie?
No.
Pinocchio's nose slowly grows approximately 2 feet. Cassidy is astounded. He's a human lie detector.
All right, fine, I did. Sorry, Mother. Am I in trouble?
No porridge tonight and straight to bed.
Little blue boy shoots a mean face to Pinocchio, then leaves. Pinocchio's nose reverts back to normal as Geppetto looks to Cassidy.
My boy, he can sense when someone is lying.
Pinocchio, I need you to concentrate on what this man says. It's very important for Camelot that we know if he's telling the truth.
Pinocchio nods yes.
Okay, stranger, go ahead. And if that nose so much as twitches...
Jack draws his sword, ready to attack Cassidy.
Don't bother running.
Interior mother's living room, a few moments later. The Redeemers sit assembled in front of the television. Angle on the television where General Pan and Dragonfly stand at a podium for a press conference.
It would seem once again that our fair city is terrorized by Jack and the Redeemers, all in the service of the vile revolutionary mother. Another bank was robbed, but this time there was a large death toll of civilians.
Resume on the Redeemers.
That's a lie. We only killed lost, no citizens were hurt.
General Pan continues his press conference.
All citizens are required to report any Redeemer activity to the Sleeper's Army. This operation is completely military.
I love you with the lesson.
Now, here are a few words from everybody's favorite couple, Jackson and Jillian, owners of the Pale Water Bank.
A title screen in the shape of a heart appears. In the middle of the heart are Jackson and Jillian, late 20s. Jillian is sitting in Jackson's lab. The couple makes out feverishly while taking selfies with their phones. After a few moments, they realize the cameras are rolling and stop kissing.
This is Jackson and Jillian Palewater. Jack and Jill. Since the bank rob today was ours, anyone who relays information to help us capture Jack or any of the Redeemers will receive a hefty reward of
10,000 magic beans.
We go back to the Redeemers as Mother, Jack, Cassidy, Geppetto, and Pinocchio enter the living room.
Years ago, I used to be friendly with Jillian. Since Jackson's accident, when he fell down and lost his crown, she's never been the same.
Turn that crap off.
Scarlet turns off the television.
Children, gather round and listen good. I am convinced the stranger here is telling the truth.
So what does this mean, Mother?
As difficult as it may sound, Staria, our dream world is not the right dream world, not the real dream world that it's supposed to be.
But who's to say what is right?
I know it makes you sad, but if there's a better dream world out there, we owe it to ourselves to find it.
According to the stranger, something happened in dream world's past.
Something that wasn't supposed to happen.
That made this dream world the way it is. What we have to do is go back in time and find out what happened and stop it.
How are we going to do that? Time travel is impossible.
Not exactly impossible. I know someone who can help us, an old friend from back in the day, Baba Yaga.
The old witch from the Enchanted Forest?
The one and only.
We can't get to her, Mother. All roads and bridges connecting to the Enchanted Forest are heavily guarded. The Sleeper's got at least 2 squads of Lost at each checkpoint.
What about the Shepherd? She can guide us.
No, the Shepherd doesn't exist. She's a fairy tale. No pun intended. A blind woman who guides people through the Enchanted Forest.
No. The Shepherd's no fairy tale. Find her and she'll guide you to Baba Yaga. Mastodon, you'll go with Scarlet and Wolf.
What about me? The forest is way too dangerous, even with Scarlet and Mastodon together.
You can't go with them, Jack. You've got the hardest job of all. The ultimate heist. Baba Yaga's no spring chicken, and her power ain't what it used to be. She's gonna need an energy boost for a time-traveling spell. And the only thing with that kind of juice is...
The Sleeper's golden egg.
You want Jack to sneak into the Sleeper's fortress and steal the Sleeper's power egg?
Glad you took a shine to his mission, Bluebeard, because he won't be alone. You and Staria go as second team.
If they're second team, then Jack will need someone to watch his back. Count me in.
Someone, yes, but not you. We don't have a magic beanstalk here. Breaking into the Sleeper's fortress is as tough as it gets.
Then you better make sure this goes right, because there's no way I'm not coming with you.
Jack looks to Mother, who nods her approval.
The man has balls, if nothing else.
Fine, you can come, but do exactly what I say. Don't be a hero.
Stranger, I don't know what you did in your world, but you sure don't look like much of a fighter.
Thanks.
You'll need this.
Hidden under her cooking apron, Mother pulls a half-broken sword and hands it to Cassidy.
It's only half of a sword.
Half is better than none. Don't get yourselves killed.
Look, stranger, if you pass Pinocchio's test, then you must speak the truth. But this is the only home I've ever known, and the idea of it being wrong It's unbelievable.
Having said that, you still took the mission.
Would your Jack have done any less?
Jack walks off briskly, leaving Cassidy to contemplate this. Exterior mother's house, backyard, night. A garden in bloom overlooking the street where mother's children play. Scarlett sits on a tuffet. Jack approaches.
Hey.
Hey.
Jack takes the tuffet next to her. They're both nervous.
Are you okay?
What are we doing?
I don't know. Trying to save the world?
Somebody else's. If this plan works, we lose everything. We lose each other.
Before, when I was with Mother and the Stranger, he told her what she was in the real dream world.
Was it bad?
No. She was the mother of lost children, much as she is now. But in the dream world he described, her children didn't hide underground, starving. None of us did.
Maybe our world is wrong.
Jack moves in closer and takes Scarlett's hand.
Not all of it.
I love you, Jack.
I love you too, Red.
Off Jack and Scarlett kissing, Mastodon approaches.
Time to go, Scarlett. Wolf's getting hungry.
Scarlett walks off, leaving Mastodon alone with Jack.
Watch her, brother.
Scarlett's the last person who needs watching, but I'll do my best. You just watch yourself. Something goes sideways, I won't be there to save you.
Like that time we broke into Hansel and Gretel's fort?
That was close.
Jack laughs.
Give me Jack laughs.
I did laugh. Jack laughs again.
That was close.
Jack laughs.
I don't see how I could ever kill you. You're my best friend. You're my brother.
And you're mine. See you when I see you, Daddy-o.
Not if I see you first.
Exterior Humpty's Gentleman's Club, night. A huge line is up front. A pink neon sign flashes, Humpty's, all the king's halls.
Sorry, kids.
It's fine.
Interior Humpty's main room, continuous. Strip club atmosphere. Posters on every wall read, debuting tonight, Cinderella. On the main stage, a spotlight finds Humpty Dumpty, a sleazy, egg-shaped man, 40s, with caked-on layers of face makeup. He holds a thick link chain leading off stage.
Drink up! Please remember to tip your bartenders and waitresses, because they all work hard. Well, folks, we have a special treat tonight. New to Humpty's? Pretty little thing.
Humpty yanks the chain, which is connected to the neck of Cinderella, 18, dragging her out on stage. Cinderella is in a skimpy two-piece bathing suit, shivering and terrified. The crowd goes wild.
Give it up for Cinderella!
Humpty whispers in Cinderella's ear.
If you want to eat tonight, you better make this good. You see those guys in the front row? Big shots. A butcher and candlestick maker. Treat them, good.
A sexy song plays. Cinderella begins to dance with the music. The enthusiastic crowd throws magic beans on stage for her. Cut to the bar, where we find Arthur the bartender wearing a My Name is Art name tag, sees Georgie Porgy, late 20s, black on black suit, killer good looks with two scantily clad hot women approach.
Hey, Art.
Arthur passes over a gunny sack of magic beans to Georgie.
What's up, GP? Not even 10 o'clock, and you've already cleared about 10,000 magic beans. Sweet. If you'll excuse me, business before pleasure. And pleasure.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. Are you ready to shop? Rakuten's Big Give Week is back. Get 15% back at hundreds of stores, and it's all happening this week, May 6th to May 13th. It's the perfect time to shop for everything on your list for spring and summer, like clothing, outdoor gear, and travel. I know I'm using this week to stock up on some warmer weather essentials at Ray-Ban and Ulta, and I love that Rakuten even helps me save on travel at sites like hotels.com. Rakuten really is the best way to shop, and you can save even more by stacking cash back on top of deals. Plus, during Big Give Week, that cash back is bigger than ever. With Rakuten, membership is free, and when you sign up and shop today, you get an extra 10% cash back boost. That's an extra 10% cash back on top of the 15% cash back. You won't see higher cash back rates than these. Go to Rakuten.com or download the Rakuten app. R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Shoppers get it.
Under this, Georgie makes out with one, then the other, then leaves both women and enters a back hallway. Interior Georgie Porgy's office, continuous. Georgie enters, moving directly for his 3-foot-high piggy bank, where the nose houses the safe dial. Georgie opens the safe and dumps the magic bean sack inside.
Georgie Porgy using his safe. I thought you knew better.
Georgie knows that voice. He slams the pig's face closed.
Scarlet Hood. It's been a while. Still the sexiest woman in all of Dreamworld.
Nice place you got here. I heard you became partners with Humpty.
He's a means to an end. I handle the business side, he handles, talent. Still running around with Jack.
Still running around with everyone.
Spoken like a true ex-girlfriend. A man must have comfort. My kiss doesn't exactly make them cry.
Not in front of you, anyway. Just weeks later, after therapy, and they find out how much of a player you are.
As much as I love catching up, Scarlet, tell me, what do you need?
I have to find the Shepherd. I know you two were close at one time.
At one time, which was a long time ago. So, the Shepherd, huh?
Georgie heads to his minibar and mixes himself a drink.
Remind me, you're 7 and 7?
Nope, I'm sober. 2 months.
All the power to you.
Thanks. Listen, Georgie, I don't have time for this. Do you know where the Shepherd is or not?
We do keep in touch every now and then. But first, if I tell you where she's hiding, you get what you want. But what about my wants? I still want you, right?
Under which, Georgie moves into Scarlet for a kiss. Georgie stops when he hears a threatening growl. It's Wolf sitting in between Scarlet's legs with his sharp teeth dangerously close to Georgie's privates.
Is this any way to treat an old friend?
Wolf barks.
No, it's not.
Why should I help you, Scarlet? If the Sleeper or the Ice Princess finds out, they'll kill me.
Mother sent me. Georgie, you owe her. She raised you, or did you forget?
No, I didn't forget. Okay. After this, tell Mother we're even, Steven. Also, tell her... I miss her. So, Where is the shepherd? Where is the shepherd? Maybe... try the docks. It's one of the few places the Lost won't go. They hate water.
What about Rumpelstiltskin? His mob still run the docks?
Yeah, and they're no pushovers. And they got no love for Mother of the Redeemers. Scarlet, even if you get past Stiltskin's crew, there's no guarantee you'll ever find the shepherd. Now, she doesn't want to be found.
I have to try.
Whatever's going on, it's not worth all the trouble you're about to get yourself into. Hey, think about it.
Scarlet looks away. Maybe Georgie's right. Interior Humpty's main room, night. Find Mastodon leaning against a wall, completely enamored with Cinderella. Cinderella grinds on the butcher, whose hands immediately begin exploring her body. Humpty yanks Cinderella's chain, dragging her off Butcher and back onto the stage. She's humiliated. Humpty smiles. Mastodon simmers.
If you want more of this one, pay the price. And no credit cards, please. Just magic beans. Find out why they call her Cinderella.
Then Humpty and Cinderella disappear off stage. Interior backstage hallway, night. Humpty's trying to kiss Cinderella.
I paid 1,000 magic beans for you, sweetie. I want a little return on my investment.
Please, stop.
Humpty smacks Cinderella in the face.
Still waiting for your prince to come. Not in this lifetime, sweet thing. Give it up. You know you want Humpty.
No.
Bitch.
Humpty cocks back for a second blow. His arm's forward progress is halted by Mastodon.
I wouldn't do that if I were you.
Oh, no? Who the hell are you?
Someone who's going to teach you a lesson. Didn't anyone ever tell you it's not nice to hit people?
Mastodon punches Humpty in the jaw, sending him through the hallway wall and into a dressing room. Humpty's out cold.
Damn, that wasn't even my best punch. You okay?
My face stinks, but... it could have been worse. My eyes know you. Big and strong. The giant from the Redeemers.
Yeah, they call me Mastodon.
Under which Scarlet and Wolf walk over. She sees Humpty on the floor unconscious.
Difference of opinion?
Big difference.
We better roll. This place will be hot in a few minutes.
Mastodon extends his hand. Cinderella winces, as would anyone who has been beaten most of their lives. Cinderella cautiously grabs Mastodon's hand.
Do you have anywhere to go?
I'm Humpty's property. He owns me.
No one owns you. Not anymore.
Interior Humpty's, later that night. Humpty's at Georgie's corner of the bar, holding an ice pack to his head. Arthur cleans bar glasses.
You all right, Humpty?
I got sucker punched by some big oaf. How do you think I feel?
Well, I got something to tell you that'll make you feel better. Information. That big oaf wasn't just any big oaf. That was the Mastodon.
The Mastodon?
He showed up with Scarlet and she met with Georgie. Feel better now?
Better than having an apple a day. I feel a 10,000 magic beans richer. Arthur, you're a king. Now get me Jackson and Jillian.
Interior sewer, night. In an underground tunnel, Jack and Cassidy walk and talk. Bluebeard and Staria follow behind a few feet.
You should have stayed back in Camelot, stranger. Leave this kind of operation to the professionals.
Not a chance. I'll do anything to save my world and my kids, because my kids are my world.
I suppose besides having kids, you have a wife also?
Cassidy nods, then gets choked up.
I do. I did. She died. Right before everything changed.
I'm sorry to hear that.
After a moment...
my kids don't even know. I didn't have the time to tell them.
According to your books, did I have a family?
Yes. Everything you did was for them.
And what did I do, exactly?
Well... this soldier family's only cow to a man for a handful of magic beans.
I sound like a stupid kid for believing such a story.
There's a stupid kid in all of us who wants to believe, Jack.
Cassidy nods. Angelon, Staria, and Bluebeard.
What do you think of the stranger's story, Bluebeard?
Compelling, for sure. But I still don't trust him.
Exterior, the sleeper's fortress, the castle, night. Camera pans down slowly from the sleeper's mighty castle to the office building it rests upon. Dozens of soldiers of the 4th patrol the office building's entrance. Suited men and women, geared up for the work night, are on two huge parallel lines to pass security checkpoints to enter. In the first line, the Lost Boy guards stop a suited man carrying a shiny metal briefcase and check him over. It's Jack in disguise. His scarred eye shielded by dark sunglasses.
You're free to move along.
Next up is Cassidy, also in disguise.
You're free to move along.
Cut to the second huge line, where we see Bluebeard and Staria in disguise. They get waved in by the Lost and enter the office building. Interior office building lobby, continuous. Jack and Cassidy follow the herd of workers to the elevators and inconspicuously link up with Bluebeard and Staria. When an elevator arrives, the four Redeemers enter. Bluebeard turns to the other suits trying to enter behind them.
You might want to catch the next one. This one's all filled up.
The elevator doors close. As the Lost operates the elevator's controls.
What floor?
Penthouse.
The elevator takes off. Jack pulls his sunglasses off and dons his traditional eye patch.
Hi.
The Lost realizes Jack's true identity. Bluebeard bonks the Lost over the head, knocking him unconscious. He then pulls out a roll of black electrical tape.
Don't forget to tape the wings.
Bluebeard binds the Lost's hands, legs, wings, and mouth. The Redeemers pull off their disguises to reveal their normal clothes underneath. The elevator reaches the top floor.
Now what? Sneak up into the castle, steal the golden egg, try not to get caught. Nothing too complicated, I suppose.
Bluebeard punches out the elevator ceiling panel.
Above the elevator shaft is a set of service tunnels that separate the fortress from the building.
And that leads up to the castle? It puts us directly underneath.
Jack opens his silver briefcase, and Cassidy and the Redeemers take their weapons.
Come and get it.
Jack and Bluebeard swipe the swords and knives. Cassidy grabs his half-sword, and Staria takes the bow with no visible bowstring.
Your bow. It doesn't have a string.
Staria pulls back where the bowstring would be, and a thin blue energy bowstring appears along with a blue energy arrow.
It doesn't need one.
Interior, the castle kitchen, night. The baker carefully lays a giant 10-layer cake on a steel tray as he converses with a living 5-inch silver spoon. Spoon has legs, arms, and an evil grin.
When the sleeper wakes up, this will be the highlight of the first feast. Mark my words. Say, I have a few friends I'm meeting at Humpty's tonight. You want to come with?
Through a grating in the floor, we see Jack and the Redeemers listening.
Yeah, why not? I've been something of a curmudgeon lately.
Baker the Spoonhead.
Sounded a bit more like a fork than a spoon. I just.
Yeah, why not? I've been something of a curmudgeon lately.
Baker and the Spoon head out, shutting the light and the door on their exit. After a beat, the grating in the floor opens, and the Redeemers climb up into the room.
Not that I don't love Mother's cooking, but something in here smells. Oh, delicious. Oh, good call on entering through the kitchen, Jack.
Yeah, no guards are ever posted near the kitchen.
Staria runs to the kitchen door and looks out its window into the hallway.
Shh! Someone's coming.
Angle out in the hallway through the door's window. Baker escorts a dozen soldiers of the 4th to guard the kitchen, now with their backs to the door.
Until I return, the kitchen is closed. Understand?
Yes, sir!
Baker and Spoon move off. Resume on the Redeemers. The team is huddled near the oven.
No guards ever posted at the kitchen, huh, Jack? Now, how do we get to the sleeper's chambers?
Time for a little improvisation, Daddy-O.
Look, Jack, there's a dumbwaiter.
Cassidy points to dumbwaiter at the far end of the room.
The sleeper's chamber has to be on the top floor, right?
Not the worst idea I've ever heard, stranger. Okay, Bluebeard, Staria, give us 10 minutes.
Exterior, Humpty's Club, night. To establish. Interior, large storeroom. Close on a couple making out, night. Pull out to find the sexy couple, Jackson and Jillian. They're sitting on the bottom of a wooden staircase, making out. Over their lustful moment, we hear the grunts and winces of a man being beaten.
Come on, Marion! You're outclassed!
The face!
Wow!
Sorry.
Was it bad?
It was good.
I was already.
Come on, Marion! You're outclassed!
Yeah, give up! Don't be a hero!
Jackson and Jillian stop kissing.
Think we should have called General Pan? I hear this is a military operation now.
God, no. And give that uncharismatic boar our press? When the Sleeper finds out we captured the Redeemers, he'll love us.
Yeah, we'll be even hotter than we are now.
Come here.
Jackson and Jillian start kissing again.
Come on, Georgie, start talking.
Jackson pulls away from the kiss, annoyed.
How long is this gonna take, Humpty? We have dinner plans tonight, sushi, and then a little rub-a-dub-dub with 3 men in a hot tub.
Pull out to find we're in a basement storeroom. Humpty lurches over the 3 pigs, giant man-sized pigs who stand on their hind hoofs as they beat on Georgie Porgy. Georgie's hands and feet are tied to a chair.
I'm sorry, but the pigs are doing all I can. It appears Georgie is a lover and a fighter.
Is that so? Maybe I need to handle this personally.
Go get him, Tiger.
Jackson walks over to Georgie.
Oh my God, this is so annoying. Georgie, cut the crap here, pal, and tell us where the Redeemers were headed. Or I'll have the pigs beat your stinking head in, capiche?
Nothing from Georgie. The pigs laugh.
Well, I tried. Diplomacy's overrated. Pigs!
The 3 pigs go back to working Georgie over. All of a sudden, the air in the storeroom turns icy cold, enough to where the pigs can see their own breath. Oblivious, Jackson and Jillian continue making out.
Jackson, get your hands out of my skirt. They're too cold.
But both of Jackson's hands are caressing her face.
Not my hands, babe.
As they both realize and jump apart, Demon Sleazy pops up from under Jillian's skirt.
How about a threesome?
Ugh, gross.
Clunk, clunk, clunk. Then the ceiling is ripped up by the rest of the 7, creating a large hole. The Ice Princess, General Pan, and the demons jump down into the storeroom.
Is this a private party, or can anybody beat on Dutz, not the words? Is this a private party, or can anybody beat on Georgie?
General Pan and Ice Princess, what a great surprise. We were just about to call you, right?
Dragonfly steps out from her hiding place behind a crate of alcohol and takes her normal perch on General Pan's left shoulder. Ice Princess aims her right arm at both Jackson and Jillian.
You two are very, very disappointing. And to be perfectly honest, your constant PDA makes single people want to, throw up.
A red energy bolt strikes Jackson fatally in the chest. His lifeless body thumps to the floor.
You killed my boyfriend! Big mistake, bitch. Pigs, take her.
Is she talking to us?
The 3 pigs ignore Jillian's order. Jillian now realizes she's toast.
Ice Princess, please. It was all Jackson. I wanted to call General Pan, but...
Dragonfly spits a fireball at her head, almost nailing her.
Stop that! It really wasn't my fault. I love the way you dress.
Can I have her, boss? I mean, blondes taste so much better.
She's all yours. Bring a friend.
No.
Horrified, Jillian runs up the staircase.
See? It is a threesome.
Oh, yeah. Pick me.
One potato, two potato, three potato.
Oh, hell. Sleazy, let's go.
Last one to the blonde is a rotten egg.
Creepy and Sleazy split after Jillian.
Ew. Save me a thigh.
As Ice Princess raises her hand, aiming at Humpty and the three pigs.
Now, Humpty, since your former employers no longer exist, let us talk about your career options.
My pigs and I humbly turn our services over to you, Ice Princess. Scarlet Hood and Mastodon will not live past tonight's moon.
Mm-hmm. And if you fail?
Are we gonna fail, pigs?
By the hair of our chinny chin chin!
Dragonfly releases two consecutive fireballs in the air.
What's her problem?
Dragonfly's antennas extend to double their length as if she's receiving a transmission. The transmission ends and Dragonfly turns into General Pan's ear and whispers. Then...
Ice Princess, there may be a security breach at the fortress. Tweedledum humbly requests your presence to address the situation.
Alas, Princess, there is one problem that still lingers. Georgie won't talk, and only he knows where the Redeemers are headed.
General Pan, put your hut to good use. You have 5 minutes.
General Pan walks toward Georgie, leading menacingly with his hook. Georgie looks terrified. Exterior, Humpty's night. The Ice Princess and the Seven sit patiently in front of the Ice Princess's stretched limousine pumpkin carriage. 8 black stallions with no heads, headless horses, stand at its front. As General Pan walks over, cleaning blood off his hook.
The Redeemers are headed to the docks, apparently looking for the Shepherd.
Did they wish to visit the Enchanted Forest? Why? I wonder.
Wonder on the road. It's time to go, madam. This way to a wild ride.
Meanie guides Ice Princess into the carriage. The rest of her entourage enter behind her. Meanie jumps to the carriage driver's seat and grabs the reins.
Ladies and gentlemen, please fasten your seatbelts. This'll be a non-smoking flight. Refreshments are on the way and operators are standing by.
The carriage darts off in a speedy blur. Exterior of the city, random streets. The carriage cuts through the city streets at a blinding speed, smash all the windows of the buildings in its wake until they reach the entrance of the Sleeper's Fortress. Meanie bypasses the front entrance and directs the carriage to a vertical climb up the side of the office building until it reaches the castle. Exterior castle, large courtyard. The Ice Princess's carriage comes soaring over the wall, landing effortlessly in front of a classic stone fountain located in the center of the courtyard. Tweedledum scurries over as Ice Princess and company step from the carriage.
Tweedledum, hi. Make fast your report.
Apparently, an elevator has been offline and trapped on the top floor of the office building.
This is about an offline elevator?
After viewing the fortress's schematics, there is a teeny tiny way to sneak into the castle from the office building's elevator shafts into the Sleeper's Fortress through the... kitchen.
Who in this realm would be stupid enough to break into the Sleeper's own fortress?
After a beat, they all realize.
Jack.
Want us to sniff him out, boss?
No, not this time. This deserves something else. Something special. Now, Meanie, we call out the beast and watch them all suffer.
Thanks for the credit, boss. I'm choking up. And I promised myself I wouldn't cry.
Gross.
End episode 2.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.